he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Monday. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hey, hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. It was pretty good. Let's see what's happening first with our local weather. As soon as I get coordinated here, it's chilly. 40 degrees right now, wind chill at 32 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is basically zilch at 13. The winds are out of the north-northeast at 14 miles an hour, gusting up to 18 miles an hour. So anyway, there's your deal. We'll have the Long Ranger coming up later in the show. First of all, we would like for everybody to send out a special prayer for a gentleman this morning. I believe he's from Radon or Allison, somewhere in that area there this morning. I got to witness a horrific wreck this morning coming into Elk, and say a prayer for this gentleman. It was a bad wreck, and I got to speak with him for just a second while he's trying to a lady, I didn't even ask her name, wonderful lady. She was talking to him, and I was trying to get his head elevated above his body. He was bleeding, not too bad, but he was bleeding, and it was a bad deal. And I've never seen a vehicle in my life up that high that wasn't meant to go that high. So hope he ends up being all right. He said a couple words to me that just set with me. He just, when I elevated him and his head and was trying to just keep him calm, waiting on the fire department to get there in the ambulance, you know, he just told me, he said, "Man, this is a bad way to start the week out." And I was like, wow, you know, it really was. But big shout out to the Elk City ambulance and fire department. They did a wonderful job. They got there real quick after the wreck and was doing a wonderful job with this gentleman and got him to the hospital. I don't have any other updates on him, but they it was just say a prayer for this gentleman. He was a farmer. He was in a farm truck. He had hay spikes on the back, so just more important to say another prayer for him. But anyway, well, on to some more Jimmy adventures this weekend. A friend of mine from California is out with his two wire hair pointing Griffons. We call them Griffs, just like my Zoe. We went hunting Saturday morning for quail. We got into some quail and had a good time. Zoe, everybody always brags on their dog, but Zoe, she was on her A game. She was trailing these quail. They were on the run, acting like blue quail. She caught up with them finally and went on point. And Bruce got one of them on that rise. And next rise, I got one. And we just had a good time. And it just got too hot too quick. And of course, I got farm chores to do. I got to go move the side row. So that was about a couple hours hunting is all I got to do. And then yesterday, we had a dew. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but I was wet from my boots up to my chest yesterday from hunting in some big tall CRP grass, but we got into a huge covey over there, big birds. Had a great time. So quail hunting was good. Looking at social media, lots of deer hunters were out for the last weekend of gun season, and there was some big boys taken this year. So congratulations to everybody shot a big deer with their rifle. And now we move on. We're back to full-time archery season. Now I can get back to being serious about deer hunting. Also, if you have not got the email from the Wildlife Department or you've heard about it, I'm sure you can go on the Oklahoma Wildlife Department's website, and it's on there about the, you know, how they come up with their rule changes and season changes every year. Check it out. The one that caught my attention was that they were going to, on the Western Oklahoma WMAs out here, which is a big part of the WMAs in Oklahoma. We got Sandy Sanders, we got Cimarron Hills, we got Ellis County, we got Pack Saddle, Buck Kettle's federal, but the Oklahoma Wildlife Department helps with that. We got Beaver up in the Panhandle, and there's a couple more that I'm not naming, but they're going to, there's a proposed change to shorten. Anybody, that's a name, but not a word to use in a sentence, but shorten the season for quail by ending it at the last day of January. And I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to say one way or the other that I totally agree, but I have no problem with it because what people got to understand about quail is, you know, we don't have as many quail as we used to. And there's lots of reasons. Mother nature, habitat, the whole nine yards, predators. I can go on and talk about this all day long. But those birds that make it to the end of the season, like in February, they're the ones that will be our brood for the brood hatch a few months after that, next April. So the more we have left in February, the better our quail coveys and numbers, hopefully, if Mother Nature cooperates with us, will be for next year. And, you know, there's a lot more quail out there than people. I talked about this Friday. There's a lot more quail out there than people think there is. Quail have changed their habits. Used to be go to the, let's go by that old homestead. Let's go down that shelter belt. Let's go down that fence row. They have changed their ways. And I'm going to preach and ask every farmer and rancher out there, or not farmer and rancher, landowner, not necessarily the rancher farmland, please start leaving weed rows in your fence. Let the weeds grow up. You got to contain, there's no field out there perfectly contained with weeds anyway, but leave a weed row grow up. Don't shred it. Don't spray it. Leave it and let the quail live in those fence rows. That's all they need, fence rows. And some plum thickets and some yuccas and all that stuff. But in those fence rows, you'll see a lot more quail if you leave 5 or 10 foot along there. And I know, I used to work for a guy back in the 80s that plow as close to that fence as you can. I don't care, just plow it. Don't take the fence out. Well, you notice there was a lot of damaged fence back in the 80s and 90s. But them fence rows are, I call it the super quail highway. So anyway, that's one of the proposed changes. Also, they was talking about doing away with the largemouth bass length limit of 14 inches in the lakes and stuff, and just making it where you got a six max for your that you can keep, and only one of them could be more than 16 inches. Because I guess come up with a study. They've been doing a study for the last 2 or 3 years, or maybe longer. I'm not sure of farm ponds and lakes are overstocked with small bass. A bass, period. And I'm a big fan of catch and release on bass, especially on the big girls and boys. But it makes sense, if we can keep some of those smaller bass, those half-pound to three-quarter and one-pound, get them thinned down a little bit and leave the big mamas alone. And because I see lots of pictures on social media where people are butchering or filleting 5 and 6 pound bass. And, yeah, it's nice to have all that meat there, but the little ones eat better anyway. So, anyway, let's do a little bit of grain futures. Hard red winter wheat is of 11 a.m. in Oklahoma this morning. Cash prices was $7.84 a bushel. Corn was $5.74. Milo's $5.77. Soybeans at $11.92 a bushel. Looks like it's been hanging tight since the weekend. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading on worries that China's imports of the oil seeds from the U.S. will decline. Chinese soybean imports plunged from more than 80% in September after Hurricane Ida damaged shipping facilities in the U.S. Gulf Coast, according to the USDA. The window of shipping to China is narrow for U.S. exporters, as Brazilian crops will become readily available in the first quarter of 2022. According to a report from Rutgers, citing Zhu Holligan, an analyst with the Chinese consulting MySteel, that may lead to the decline for the entire marketing year. Wheat and corn futures were also lower overnight. Still underpinning prices is continued demand for U.S. products. Exporters said an unnamed country bought 122,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery in the marketing year that started on September 1st, according to the USDA. The agency reported sales 4 days last week, including corn to Colombia and beans to China. For wheat, prices may be easing after the Australian Bureau of Agriculture and Resource Economics and Science, which is the same as our USDA, but a little more complicated to read, said last week and now expects a record wheat crop. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 6 cents to 12.61 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost 290 to 375 and 70 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.03 cents to 57.25 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery were down 3.5 cents to 580.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 3.25 to $8.05. However you want to say that, $8.05. There we go, a bushel. While Kansas City futures fell 3.75 cents to $8.20.5 a bushel. Speculative investors cut their net long positions or bets on higher prices into the corn into its lowest and more than in a month, while also reducing their bullish bets on beans, according to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Money managers held a net net 303,534 corn future contracts in 7 days. It ended on November 30th. That's down from 362,000 contracts a week earlier and the lowest level since October 26. Investors held 31,074 soybean future contracts last week, down from 50,268 contracts a week earlier. In wheat, fund managers and other large investors reduced their net long position in a hard red winter futures to 61,915,000 contracts last week from 65,320 contracts 7 days earlier. Speculators were more or less bullish on soft red winter wheat futures, dropping their bullish positions to 4,882 contracts as of November 30th. That's down from a net long of 20,120 contracts a week earlier and the lowest since November 9th. Well, there you have it. When we get back, we're going to talk some cattle. And I'm going to see if the text line will light up about our new hiring at OU at Norman. Brent Venables is now our head coach. We got a head coach at OU. And OSU did good. Just couldn't pull it out there at the last second. But it looks like they're going to be going to a really good bowl. Baylor's going. A lot of Big 12 teams are going to bowls, and that's impressive. I mean, a lot of them. So anyway, anybody got any opinions, hit me up on the text line about anything. And it's the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. Got something to say? Just rattle it out, and I'll read it, and then I'll be the judge on whether to say it on their air or not. But anyway, so we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's 41 degrees, wind chill 33, dew point's 13, the winds are out of the north at 14 miles an hour, and wind gust up to 20 miles an hour. So there you have it. I have the Big Long Ranger coming up later in the hour. Let's talk a little bit about weather. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear about drought and stuff, but according to the National Weather Service, weather maps were relatively active today with winter weather in the northern plains and wind advisories issued for most parts of the Midwest. A wind chill advisory has been issued for much of northern North Dakota and Minnesota. Wind chills in North Dakota are forecast to be as low as 30 degrees below zero. And I've been up there when it's been 40 and 50 and 30, and dude, it is cold up there. It's a different kind of cold up here, but I still think Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle has some of the most coldest weather there is. Maybe not degree-wise, but this wind coming off them Rockies out of Colorado and New Mexico, it just cuts through you. And I've been in West Virginia and PA when it's 25 below zero and have a hoodie on. Just different kinds of cold. But the dangerous cold weather, wind chills, could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 10 minutes. No joke. In northern Wisconsin, a winter storm warning is in effect until noon, as up to 4 inches of snow is expected. Winds will gust up to 40 miles an hour. They can have all that. Eastern Illinois, northern Illinois, eastern Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and southern Minnesota, strong winds are expected to continue. And strong winds overnight was really high in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and the Oklahoma Panhandle. I seen somebody, who was it? Oh, Monty Tucker on Facebook last night, hoping that he got to finish Yellowstone before the wind got there and messed up his, I don't know if he had DirecTV or Dish, but you know, when the winds or storm hits and you got DirecTV or Dish network out there, the satellites start moving and you lose your phone signal or your TV signal. So anyway, he was hoping to get, I don't know if he got it done, but when that wind hit, it hit with a vengeance last night. Well, let's see here. The U.S. Drought Monitor come out last Friday, and it just don't look good. And it's getting worse in Oklahoma. Western Oklahoma and the whole Texas Panhandle and all of Oklahoma Panhandle are basically in a D2 severe drought, SL, which is short-term and long-term. Right up there in the very at four corner, I don't know if you want to call that four corners, but where Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado come together, they are in an extreme drought. So we need some rain. That's all we can pray for. All you got to do is pray for it and things will come true. Let's see here. One of my deals here says, hope OU scores on the first drive next fall or they'll be down in the mouth again. There you have it. All right. The Texas and Oklahoma weekly livestock auction summaries from last Friday. Let's start with Texas. Compared to sales 2 weeks ago, feeder steers and heifers sold mostly $2 to as much as $8 higher. Trade activity was fairly active on moderate to good demand. Drought continues with no moisture in sight and unseasonably warm temperatures. Total receipts from Texas last week was 7,901 head. That compared to 7,500 last week and 6,165 head last year. Of those, feeder cattle were 86% of it. Slaughter cattle was 11% and 3% was replacement cows. Let's go over some of the numbers. Let's start with some they got 378 weight, about 30 head, bringing as high as 227 per 100 weight. Average price was $201. Sorry, my allergies are kicking in here bad. 400 to 450 weight, there was 50 head at 421 on the weight, and these are steers, and that average price was $1.78 to 220. It was the high price, it was 220. Average was 208. Here's some unweaned ones. I know the guy was asking me the other day what the difference between winged and unweaned are, but here's a couple here. 86 head, 477 average weight, brought up to $1.89. Average price was $1.78 unweaned. That's pretty good. There was 500 head in Texas. Average weight, $6.76, brought up to $1.65.50. And then we get into the 7 weights, 431 head, averaging $7.77, brought up $157.68 per 100 weight. That's pretty good. 8 weights, let's go one more in Texas. 129 head, average weight, $8.31, up to $1.58.75. Average price, $158.34. That's pretty good. Market coming up. So here we go with Oklahoma. Compared to last week's very light test, feeder steers and heifers mostly steady. Steer and heifer calves sold $4 to $8 higher. 5 to 600 pounders holding steady. Demand again very good for all classes. Sharply higher slaughter cattle prices. I seen that Friday. And good clearance of out of feed yards has helped to boost feeder demand. Demand for lightweight calves is extremely good despite the very dry conditions across most of the state, and the upcoming forecast doesn't show much moisture coming for wheat country. Only 2 weeks of auctions left before the holidays, and I was going to mention that. Now I already did there. Remember, this week and next week, I think the 20th is Western Oklahoma Livestock's last auction, so that'll be on a Monday. Slaughter bulls were $2 to $3 higher. Slaughter cows were $4 to $5 higher. Demand good for both packer and replacement cows. Here we go with the receipts. 43,148 receipts was from last week. And then it says the week before was 14,743. I think they got them switched around. It was around 41,000. Last year this time, there was 35,730 head in there. Feeder cattle were 90% of the receipts from the sale barn receipts last week. Slaughter cattle was 77.2%. Replacement cattle was a little less than 3%. So let's read off some of the steers here. We got, here we go. 157 head, average weight 331 pounds. It was bringing up to $235 per 100 weight. Average price was $213.44 per 100 weight, and this was for the 3 to 350 weight. Let's go on down here to some four weights. Oh, wait, here we go. 361, these were thin fleshed, $235.90 per 100 weight. And we get into the 400 pounders, 336 pounds, 336 head, 428 on the weight, bringing up to 222 per 100 weight. Average price was 202.91 per 100 weight. And then we get into some more into some four weights here. There we go. 872 head, averaging 476, brought up to 218. So them calves, some younger calves, and 450, basically under five weights, were doing really good. But it looks like the 5 to 6, 7, 8, 9 weights, they're all holding steady. So I don't know what's going to happen to the market if we continue to go without rain. Not everybody is lucky enough to have irrigation to keep the wheat pasture and the rye growing, but whatever they got under there. But seen some pretty sad wheat pasture this weekend, so hopefully something dramatically changes. And maybe tomorrow, Lacey's coming on tomorrow, and she'll have some good news for us. Not sure. I'm not seeing any in any of the forecasts whatsoever, but they weather just does not look bueno. Well, speaking of some cow sales, this coming Saturday at Hobart, at the Hobart Stockyards on 183 Highway, north of Hobart, the Hobart Stockyards will be having a special replacement cow sale at 11 a.m. They got Angus heifers. They got to knock down all this. There's 17 of these, for example, weighing 1,100 pounds, bred to Son of Hoover Dam, L, low birth weight Angus bull, calving in February and March. 62 Angus heifers weighing 1,025 to 1,100. AI bred to Phoenix, low birth weight, cleanup bull, Thomas Angus bull, also a low birth weight. Bred to calve in February. You don't want to miss these. Also, they're going to be having 24 red Angus cows, 3 to 5 years old, bred to Angus bull to calve in February. 20 Angus cows, 4 to 6 year olds, northern bred, bred to calve in February. 15 Charley cross cows, 2 to 3 years old, bred to red Angus bull. 20 red Angus bred heifers, spring calving, fancy. 2 red Angus, 4-year-old low birth weight bulls, Charley bull, 18 months old. They got it going on. There's 2 Angus Simmental crosses, my favorite. I love the Angus Simmental cross. It's my favorite cow of all cows, or of cattle, breed cows. Anyway, 18 months old, have some bulls there. More consignments to come. Got any questions? Give Mr. Rex Fleming a call down there at Hobart. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 19th. 1,721 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 442 brought 203. 5 at 506 brought 155. 11 at 632 brought 143. 14 at 653 brought 147. 7 at 799 brought 143. 9 at 991 brought 132. 10 head of heifers at 324 brought 176. 19 at 489 brought 142. 4 at 566 brought 135. 3 at 635 brought 122. 5 at 725 brought 133. 7 at 772 brought 135.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 66.50. Bred cows, 375 to 1385. Butcher bulls, 60 to 87. Pairs brought 635 to 1610. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the Beef Sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or 5 tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
41 degrees. Wind is still getting it at 16 miles an hour, gusting up to 21 miles an hour. So, a week from this coming Thursday, I think. All right. Hang on. Bear with me. Check my calendar out. 10 days from now. What's that? Yeah, I had it right. A week from this coming Thursday on the 16th at 12 noon at the Livestock Nutrition Center right here on South Main at SEI Agritech location, or not on Main, Randall, 1400 South Randall. They will have a lunch and learn. Learn more about feeding in limited pasture conditions. Might be a good time to do it with our drought going on. It'll be down there with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech. Please RSVP by December 14th, which is next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, by calling 225-0317. Lunch and learn. Go down there and check him out down there. That's a good deal. Of course, everybody always has all their parties while I'm doing the show, so it's no fun for me, but hopefully they'll save me something to eat. I'm not sure. I don't know how many of you guys are members of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. I am a member of it and the Oklahoma one, but the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association submitted comments to the United States Department of Agriculture Food Safety Inspection Service to address questions about labeling of lab-grown protein products. We hit on protein products last week, but these guys, numerous companies across the globe are developing and preparing to introduce lab-grown proteins artificially cultured from animal cells. They intend to market these products to consumers as meat. While the Food and Drug Administration will oversee the manufacturing process, USDA will regulate how they are labeled and sold. The Agriculture Department has started collecting the public's input necessary to develop those regulations. In their comment, cattle raisers urged the department to apply the same standards for clarity to lab-grown products or as currently exists for traditionally raised beef. This will ensure that the products are easily distinguishable on store shelves, protecting consumer confidence and the wholesome reputation of beef raised by ranchers. For millennia, cattle producers have provided the world with the natural and nutritious beef that we trust to feed our family. Beef, that's what's for dinner, said Hughes Abel, president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. A consistent, easy-to-interpret label will promote the language such as lab-grown or artificially grown, will ensure customers can make confident purchasing decisions, whatever their preferences are. And yes, I think everything, just like organic. Organic has to be labeled. And it's not truly organic, as they say, or for per se what they say, unless it's approved by the USDA. And you see those deals on there. My wife's a big fan of organic food, and it's got to say USDA approved on their organic. So it shouldn't be no different for meats, lab-grown, actually meat coming from other countries. It all needs to be labeled accordingly. So it can't be that hard, but I guess it will be. Who knows? They just don't know. Okay, our annual quality grade low is marked. The market update for the Fed cattle market continued higher again last week after clawing its way out of a deadlock in the low 120s for multiple weeks. The $133 CWT resulted from the largest negotiated cash trade week this year, with the top of the market at $135 CWT. The more aggressive buying packer behavior suggests there's a shortage of market-ready cattle, but overall the number of cattle on feed for 150 days or longer is larger than a year ago at this time. A closer look at the numbers on a regional basis shows that Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, and Minnesota feedlots have fewer long-fed cattle, while Colorado, Kansas, and Texas show larger numbers of 150-plus day cattle. So, looks like the weekly slaughter from last week was 677,000 head. That's up 22,000 head from the previous week. And a year ago, there was 666,000 head butchered then. Fed cattle price a year ago was at 109, previous week was 132, and this last week was 133. The average steer carcass weight was 919 pounds compared to 926 a year ago. And choice cutout was at $284.34. Select cutout was at $268.09. And that was not much, down a little bit from the week before on choice cutout. But a year ago, last week was $284.34 on choice cutout. A year ago is $219.15. So there you have it. Last Friday's cattle on feed report shows the November 1 feedlot inventories at 103.9% of the previous five-year average, yet 0.2% smaller than a year ago. This suggests ample head counts near the top of the range for this time of the year. With the above factors taken into account, one might question the reason for a stronger Fed cattle price trend, rightfully so, especially given the weaker cutout values in the Earn and Bury report last week. Packers have margin to spread back upstream to the feedlot sector at their discretion, and it appears that their need to fulfill orders for high-quality product for upcoming holidays is likely a motivating factor. The higher-than-average quality grade trends in the northern tier of the feeding sector, combined with those northern states showing tighter supplies of longer-fed cattle, suggesting packers are needing to complete to own the quality harvest-ready cattle. The box beef trade is shaping up from what has turned out to be a rather predictable fashion given all that we know about the last 3 months of pricing. The downturn is cutout values we've seen these past weeks is unseasonably weak, yet record prices are often too high to sustain for long, and that seems to be the case this November. Certified Angus beef rib prices were slashed last week with the rib primal down $29.37 CWT, accounting for about half of the total decline in cutout values. Briskets are the most dynamic item in recent price quotes, with the certified Angus brand briskets at $4.25 a pound versus $2.35 a pound a year ago. Briskets are popular in many respects throughout the year, but processors are likely taking on inventory to ramp up for corned beef needs in March, as well as briskets are one of the carcass items where piece count means more than total pounds available. I know Mr. Bill Dance over there in Delhi, Oklahoma, that guy can cook a brisket. Wasn't that long ago at Coulter's birthday party? Wow, that was good stuff. That's the only time you'll hear me brag on him, but that brisket was good. Believe it or not, heifers are topping out in fed slaughter. The proportion of heifers versus steers in the weekly fed cattle mix is a key indicator of trends in the U.S. beef cow herd shifts. As a general rule, when the share of heifers in weekly slaughter totals surpasses 36%, the beef cow herd is considered to be contracting. The converse of all this, of course, when measure dips below the 36%, the cow herd is expanding. It's most useful to look at the percentage on annual basis rather than any single week or month. Given the management and age differentials in cattle shift, the numbers higher and lower seasonally. The USDA annual count inventory report shows the following: that the drought-induced liquidation between 2010 and 2013 beef cows numbers recovered from that period of 29.1 million head to 31.7 million head at the conclusion of 2018. Contradiction since then, due to the lack of profitability in the cow-calf sector and reoccurring drought in the west and then in the north, has been pulling cow numbers lower again. Acceleration of the downward trend in 2020 and 2021 have been fueled by the backlog of fed cattle, pressuring profits in all cattle production sectors, plus the widening of drought-impacted areas to include more of the northern high-density cows. Cap states. So there you go. That comes from my buddies at the CAB Insider, Certified Angus Beef Cattle Connection. Anyway, basically looks like the slaughter market is doing good, but I just get this feeling that these cow-calf operations numbers are going to keep going down and down and down, especially not only what they just said in this report because profitability, but this drought is widening, and it's still very serious in the Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming, and the West Coast, Arizona, and New Mexico. It's still extremely severe, and honestly, I just don't know how these guys that's got these cow herds that they built up and got them bred the way they want, I don't know how they're going to be able to hang on to them for much longer simply just because of the cost of everything else. So feed costs, fuel, equipment, it's unreal. And you can see, I read that hay report out there every week from, I just pick randomly some states going out there, and they're paying, you know, $250 to $350 a ton for alfalfa hay that we pay up to $200 here. Well, that don't sound like much, but when you're feeding a bunch of tons every day or every week, adds up in a hurry, and it's a bad deal. When I come back, we'll finish up the show with the Long Ranger, a few more things on some cattle and some grain. What are we going to do next year with these fertilizer prices? There's all kinds of things to talk about. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, November 30th, we sold 522 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December 2nd, we sold 4,845 kids and feeders for a total of 5,367 cows a week. Killing cows on Tuesday, 3 to 5 higher. Bulls were 7 to 10 higher. Better killing cows, 76 to 84 and a half. Thin cows bring 40 up to 61 and a half. Bulls bring 86 and a half to 99. With a 2 to 4 year old bred cows bringing 1,000 to 1,250, or 5 to 8 year old bred cows 875 to 1,285, 9 and older bred cows 675 to 1,025, and our 2 to 8 year old pairs 1,275 to 1,450. Our packer buyers do not buddy up. We got a very competitive packer market. On our steer cattle, very good market. All classes very good. Feeders steady to 4 higher. 3 to 350 steers 240 to 245. 4 to 450 181 to 202. 5 to 550, 154 to 193, 6 to 650, 149 to 166, 7 to 750 yearlings, 150 to 160, whether 8 to 850 yearling steers, 154 to 165, 9 to 950, 154, 50 to 159, and 13 steers at 1,022, bring 142. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 177 to 214, 4 to 450, 141 to 179, 5 to 550, 132 to 157, 6 to 650, 131 to 155 and a half, 7 to 750, 138 to 154, 8 to 850 heifers, 146 to 153, and 7 heifers weighing 927, bring 143.50. 2 more weeks of sale. Our last sale this year will be Thursday, December the 16th. Remember, we got 14 feeder buyers every week. We try to get the most we can, whether you have one head or 2,000. cow market very competitive. None of our buyers buddy up. Good market all the way through. 3 to 5 hour on the cows, 7 to 10 hour on the bulls. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
41 degrees, winds out of the north, 18 gusting to 24 right now. Our Hobart Farm and Garden forecast. It's just no moisture in the forecast, but this afternoon, sunny near high with 45 degrees, winds will continue. Some wind gusts will be even up close to 30 miles an hour today, so be careful out there. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 25, winds diminishing a little bit and be out of the east, so it's going to be pretty chilly tonight. Tuesday, back up to 55 degrees with a south wind, 12 to 17 miles an hour, decreasing in the afternoon. Wind gusts could be as high as 26 miles an hour tomorrow out of the south. Imagine that. Tomorrow night, low 28. Wednesday, high near 60. Light winds all day. Thursday, 71. Friday, 75. Here comes another cold front in, just in time for my day off to go quail hunting. Friday night, cloudy with a low near 30. Saturday, 51 for a high. Saturday night, 28 for a low. And it starts warming right back up Sunday at 59 degrees. Well, before I go on with the more interesting facts in the news, on the ag news, Christmas giveaway is still going on. Three more businesses to go. Rogers Meat Market did theirs last Friday. Bob Wire and Lace, Cherokee Trading Post, and the Boot Outlet, and Dameron Jewelers. Find those stores' QR codes. Open up your iPhone camera app, hold that camera steady on that code, and then follow the instructions. You can enter one at each store once every day till they give it away. Like I said, Rogers Meat Market was last Friday. Bob Wire and Lace is on Thursday, December 16th. It's $500 they're going to be giving away to each one of these places. So play the game. You never know. Friday the 17th at the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet and Dameron Jewelers on Saturday, December 18th. So 3 days in a row next week, they're going to be giving out $500. Four businesses, three of them are only like three giving away $500 since Rogers has done theirs. So anyway, do something in that giveaway on that deal. You never know if you're going to win money unless you play. Well, Paul Neffner, who's a very good agriculture accountant, you throw out this story, and we raise corn around here more than people think, but not a lot of soybeans. But no matter whether it's corn, soybean, wheat, cotton, whatever, listen to this. The 2021 corn and soybean crop has likely been the most profitable crop for these farmers since 2013. With 2022 prices remaining strong, many might assume that the 2022 crop will be just as good. However, just like everything else, there appears to be a strong inflation in crop inputs for 2022. How many times can you say 2022 in one paragraph? But his friend, Chris Barron of AgView Solutions, does a lot of consulting with corn and soybean farmers, along with other crops across the Corn Belt. He has worked up a database of expected 2022 returns for corn and soybeans based upon their farm database. First, assume the farmer locks in current prices at $5.48 for corn and $12.56 for beans. Farmers will make money in 2022 even with higher inputs. The average yield in their database is 60 bushels for beans and 204 bushels for corn. Based on these numbers, corn is estimated to return about $155 per acre, and beans will return about $70 per acre. This is after factoring in a management return to the farmer for their time and labor for about $73 per acre. Even though the corn will return more than beans, the total cost per acre for corn is about $963 compared to $683 for soybean, and that's per acre. This means the working capital requirements for 2,500 acres is about $700,000 higher for corn versus soybeans. Here's some of the individual breakdowns. Nitrogen is about $95 higher per acre. Cash rent appears to be about $25 per acre higher. Return to management increases from $63,000 to $73,000, or about 16%, for 1,000 acres of corn. Seed is about 7%. Machinery cost is up, but these increases are built into various components, fertilizer being up 43%. So, the current corn-soybean ratio of 2.29 certainly favors corn, even with higher costs. How will this change between now and planting? Will soybean prices increase to provide more incentive for farmers? Will there be enough inputs to plant all the unexpected acres? Well, we'll see. That's all we can do. So my neighbor was talking about it yesterday on the phone. $850, $870 for fertilizer to go out there and top dress. We're just 2 months away from top dressing. If we get a rain, wheat and rye and Truticale, I mean, how do you justify it? What do you do? I mean, is your crop, you know, if it doesn't rain, you're silly to put it on anyway. But, how do you justify it? You know, even if wheat stays at $8 a bushel, how do you do it? So, you know, I don't grow mine as a crop. I grow mine as hay. So, but still, it costs money to put up hay. I've had this conversation 100 times with people at the round tables at some restaurants in the last 4 or 5 years. I remember back in the 80s when a baler cost, $10,000, $15,000 a new one, whether it's a New Holland or John Deere. Swather around $35,000. Tractor, $30,000 to $50,000, depending on how much horsepower you got. And we got $10 an acre for cutting, and we got $10 an acre for baling. Now, it's around $17 to maybe up to $20 an acre for cutting. Same thing for baling. So it hasn't doubled, or right at it, it's doubled. Baler's $50,000. A swather's $150,000 to $200,000. A tractor's $125,000 to $200,000. Fuel is way higher. Back then we had twine and did our little, and everything wasn't automatic either. So, just putting up hay is tripled, if not quadrupled, and still the cost of doing it, of getting it done, is only half of what it is. If you're thinking about going into the hay business for yourself, unless you've got thousands of acres, you need to seriously put a number to it. And I know everybody says, "Oh, I can't get that guy to come over here and cut my hay at the right time." Well, get you another guy. Get you a better guy. There's lots of people custom baling and swathing out there. Get on the schedule right now. Get your foot in the door right now. It's cheaper, or either that or it's just cheaper to go buy hay than put it up yourself. Put a number to it. You'll see where I'm coming from. And you just heard those numbers I rattled off about equipment costs back in the 80s, according to the equipment costs right now, and what it's being charged to put hay up. It doesn't make it just doesn't make any men's meat. Swathing and baling people ought to be charging $30, $40 an acre and $30 and $40 a bale. And I know somebody's coming out there. I'm going to come kick your butt, Jimmy Clark, for even mentioning that. But really, think about it. Common sense, think about that. So anyway, well, I hope you guys had a great weekend. And hopefully we have a great week coming up. Lacey Swope's in the house tomorrow. And hopefully she's got some good news for us down the road here. Right now I'm not seeing it. But anyway, everybody have a great Monday. And please say a prayer for that gentleman I seen in the car wreck this morning. He needs it. So anyway, it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
From the biggest stars. Break on me.